Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find the full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Welcome to the Country Music Talk podcast, where you can hear the biggest names in country music telling the stories behind their songs, sharing the latest news, and giving us all the gossip on life in Music City and beyond. I'm Baylen Leonard, and you can catch me on Absolute Radio Country. Listen on DAB Radio in the UK, on the free Rayo app, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country. Right, let's get on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Charles Kelly, as I live and breathe, here you are. You're back in the UK. You're looking good. You're feeling good. You have zero jet lag.
I know. It's amazing.
So what's the Charles Kelly method of avoiding jet lag?
Well, I went against my wife is with me. She's here today. She is usually really like brutal on, well, you got to get there and don't go to bed. And I said, Cassie, I'm more concerned about making sure I don't like get fatigued and lose my voice or anything. So I was like, just, I'm a grown man.
Yeah. You know, you're like, this is a work trip.
Let me try. Yes, I know. And let me try to just do it my way. And I got in. I went straight to bed. Yep. I slept from like 11:30, 12 till 5. Right. Got up, felt pretty great.
Wait, this is 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yep, okay. And then I, you know, worked out.
Yeah.
We had a nice little dinner.
Yeah.
I came back.
What'd you have for dinner?
What did we have? We had, I had a very rare steak.
Oh,
it
do
was
you like it
very
rare?
Very rare. I do not.
No,
I kind of got worried. I had a couple bites and I was like, should I eat this? She's like, I would send it back. I hate sending stuff back.
Yeah.
And here's why
it's very un-American of you.
Why I didn't send it back. Right next to us, these two guys had just sent back their steak.
Right. Well, clearly there's a problem with the steaks at this place.
I know. It was a little rare.
I'm sending it back.
I know. Well, eventually I did.
Because, you know, there's that point in your life where, you know, when you start kind of going out and experiencing the world and you're like, well, okay, I can be a man of the world.
Yes.
I can eat a bloody steak.
And I know, and I
because
almost
I'm
did.
Mature. Yeah. And then there comes a little bit later in your life where you're like, I'm paying money for this. I want it. And you know, it depends on where you are in the world, but certainly if you're in, and you know, we love all of our neighbors.
Yes.
But let's say you're in Paris.
Yes.
And I mean, getting a well done steak there, they already hate you.
Yes.
And when you're ordering a well done steak, they're just like, you are disgusting.
I know. My wife, she loves Paris, and I'm always, I feel like they're judging me the whole time.
They are.
But
they are.
No, I didn't. I hate sending stuff back. I think it's because my dad used to. My dad was like a big like service, you know, and I remember being like, Dad, like they're gonna spit in your food. Like just leave
well, this
it.
Is
like,
the,
if you get it sent back, it might come
it.
Back. It might come back well done, but it's gonna have it might have a little extra on it. A little
but
extra
don't look
sauce.
Too closely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked as a waiter for many years in New York City.
Don't tell me you said food.
And I'm, you know, there are I never did that. I never spit in someone's food. But I mean, there are certain customers where you're like, I remember this one woman. I worked at a barbecue restaurant in New York City, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the food was fine, but it was just a terrible experience.
Yeah.
I smelt a barbecue 24/7.
Oh.
Everything I owned was stained in barbecue. Not so different to my life now because I do still like some barbecue.
Yeah, of course.
But working in it, and there was a woman who, you know, she wanted her chicken well done. And it was like, well, look, the chicken is always going to be well done because we are not going to give you salmonella. So it's always going to be well done. She sent back her chicken like 3 times.
Ooh.
And I remember the last time, I wasn't her waiter, but the person who was waiting on her like brought it back to the chef and he just went, burn it! And they literally singed it to the point that then it was too well done for her.
Oh.
So it's a fine line.
It's a fine line.
You, I'm assuming, never had to work in service.
Well, I didn't do any like waiter and jobs, but I did like yard work. I was always like,
also hard.
Yeah. So, and which was not very good for a guy who has really bad allergies.
No.
Bad allergies. Funny allergy story. This brings me to a random allergy
Please.
Story. I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, which is the home of James Brown.
Okay.
I got to meet James Brown, the allergist.
Oh.
James Brown, the James Brown. My mom, I couldn't have been more than like probably 6 or 7, and my mom was like, that's James Brown. And I knew who James Brown was, and she was like, go introduce yourself. I was like, no, I'm too nervous.
Well, so he wasn't the allergist. He was at the allergist. Because this is breaking news.
James Brown was not the allergist.
He was a side hustle.
Well, he was just sitting there, and nobody was bothering him. And I walked up, and I said, "Hey, I'm Charles. It's nice to meet you, Mr. James Brown." And he was like, "What are you doing, son?" And yeah, and then I proceeded to go in there and get like 5 shots in my arm. It was the worst. I don't know if you has nothing to do with any.
No, we're just hanging out. Great. We haven't seen each other.
But
in a while.
I used to
it's
get
fine.
These like allergy shots, and they would give you these little, you know, pricks to see what you're allergic to.
Oh, yeah, to test
and
it.
And I had to do it, like, every so often. And so I'm still, like, really allergic to a lot.
What are you allergic to?
Like, rare steak. Grass, which is ironic because I love playing golf.
My puppy dog is allergic to
there
grass.
You go.
Also
and
difficult.
And I'm allergic to dog hair. Some.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
he doesn't shed, though. So
he doesn't shed. That's,
you two could bond over being allergic to grass.
So I would need a hypoallergenic, yeah.
Yeah, he has to take a pill.
But, you know, you get through it. You get through
you
it.
You just push on.
You push on.
You know, I hope that James Brown wasn't allergic to grass because there you would have been covered in grass from your yard job, making him sneeze all over the place.
Exactly.
What do you think he was allergic to?
I don't know. He was super cool, man. It was like such a funny thing because it probably, I would imagine, I don't know when he passed, but it probably wasn't shortly after that, you know. So I got to see him in
you
his later years.
You could have killed him with his high allergy to grass and your yard work job, bringing it in.
I love it.
Spreading it all around. Well, listen. I think we're done. Good to see you.
Perfect. We accomplished what we needed to.
We did. So, we're catching up because it's been a while since you've been over, hasn't it?
I know. You're always so much fun. Life's been good, man. I can't complain. It's. I feel like, you know, this is kind of interesting coming over here without the band. But we're
actually, yeah, because the last time you were over
was with Lady A. And so, but we're about to go into the studio in April, and I'm super excited. And, you know, this was just a fun thing. You know, for me, it had been 10 years between solo records. And, you know, we were kind of taking some time off while everybody, you know, I felt it's been a baby boom in the band.
Right.
Dave's got like a year and a half old son. Hillary has, I think, like 7 months. And we, after I had made this solo record or during the making of this solo record, we found out that we were having our surprise baby. So we have a 6-month-old boy to go along with our 10-year-old. So 10 years old, 6 months.
Did they come with you?
No.
No.
And that's why I slept so good.
Yeah. That's
it's
why you
the
don't
no
have
jet
lag.
I know.
So how many little baby A's are there?
There's
total?
Nine. I mean, Hillary has four girls. So, you know, she does need more time off. I mean, being the mom, especially with that many girls. Dave has 3. And so, you know, we had some time off, and I just love making music, man. And I started writing, and these 80s kind of sounding songs started, you know, happening. I was like, okay, I'm starting to see a vision for where I want the next solo record to go. And it just, I don't know, it kind of came together really fast, and it was just exciting. You know, I had this, you know.
What's really fast when you say come together really fast?
Man, I don't know. For me, it was just seemed like every time I would go in and write, I knew what I was writing towards, the sound of it, and lyrically. You know, I'd gone through this sobriety journey over the past 3.5 years, and I felt like I wanted to put all this, like, kind of, I don't know, rebirth, so to speak, this whole, like, new way of looking at the world. And there's a lot of, it's a lot about my wife, Cassie, who's been alongside, you know, me through this journey. And it's just, I don't know, I feel like I look at the world a lot differently now. And I wanted to put that in the music. And I think that's why it also needed to be a solo record. It's a very personal record, you know? And so.
Well, you've never, I mean, this sounds like I'm referencing your yard work, but you've never let the grass grow under your feet.
No.
You know, like you talked about 10 years since your last solo, but you also songwrite with loads of people for loads of people.
It's been fun. I feel like I'm on the songwriting. I feel like I'm on a little roll right now. It's been fun. I've had a few songs from Luke Bryan and Darius Rucker and Brett Young, but I recently got a Blake Shelton cut, a Jason Aldean cut, and this new, like, John Party song. And I'm like, this is kind of fun. I feel like I'm getting out of my own way.
Nice.
And I'm like, I'm just showing up every day.
You're writing for those guys.
I don't write specifically for them.
This is what I was going to say. No. Like, is John Party like, hey, we love a song? You just write a song and
I write a song. My publisher or one of the co-writer publishers, you know, somehow gets it in. Jason specifically, his producer, they were looking for a duet. And he reached out and was like, I'm sure Charles, you know, having written all these Lady A duets, like, has some. And so I sent him a song that they loved. But no, I usually just, honestly, a lot of the cuts I've gotten are songs I've honestly written that may would have been on a Lady A record had you know, they not been going in the studio first. Like Luke Bryan wrote, cut this song called Do I. It was his first number one. And if we had gone in the studio first, we were cutting that song.
Right.
And so, but it's fun, man. I just feel like I love making music and I love touring probably more than you know, Dave and Hillary. I just love being on the road. I don't know. I you know, I don't love all the travel, but being on stage.
Well, now that you got the jet lag, you're fine.
I dialed in. But I just,
we should say we're talking about songs for a new moon. Yeah. This came out last year. Can't Lose You is the latest single that we've been loving. We've also been playing this one with Maramora.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Yeah. Can't Be Alone Tonight.
Yeah, a lot of can'ts.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
So Maren, what I love about her on this album, and you mentioned there, it's got a little bit of an 80s vibe to it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I was imagining that when I first listened to it, because I was like, I feel like I'm in a John Hughes film or something like that, in the best way possible, because I mean, I'm Gen X, so that is my absolute sweet spot. And so I really felt that with this. But Maren being on this, because she is one of those artists that also like really pushes at the boundaries of what is and what isn't country music and works in a lot of crossover thing. And obviously Lady A has had enormous crossover success. So it kind of makes sense that, I mean, her voice obviously sounds perfect on it, but it also makes sense thematically.
It does. And I think so too. You know, and what really got me thinking about Maren was, you know, because on the initial release of this record, there's no features. I was like, after it came out, I was like, man, it'd be really cool to get somebody in the 80s world. And so I reached out. I'd met him a couple of times, but Richard Marx. So Richard Marx is, which hasn't even been released. I haven't even talked about it to anybody yet, but he is singing. He's singing on Driving and Listening to Music with me. And it's really cool.
Really?
So that'll come out after this. And then I was like, man, it'd be really cool to get a friend that's in the, you know, country world. And again, but they have to have a voice that can also kind of, it can't be too country for the sound of the song. You know, it's a very, again, it's a very pop 80s song. And so, you know, I knew Maren was into the record. And so I asked her and she was like, oh, I love the song. I'm in. And so it just kind of came together organically. And she elevated the sound of that song to me. I think anytime you can kind of get, especially with kind of a longing, missing you song, you know, both perspectives, I think just elevates the song naturally, you know.
It's such a great song. I mean, I love the entire album from start to finish. And because of some of the stuff that I said and my age and all of that. But also, I hear so, obviously, so much country music, which I love, that sometimes I just need a little bit of a freshener. Yeah.
Well, me too. I mean, as an artist, I think that's something that, you know, people shouldn't be so surprised. I mean, you know, the same reason you've got, you know, Beyonce and Post Malone making country records. Yeah. The same thing goes for all these artists. I mean, we love everything. And we probably, most artists like me grew up, you know, when I first started playing music when I was 14 years old, all through high school, we were cover bands and we did everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing Garth Brooks and you're doing R.E.M. You're doing, you know, I laugh with Darius Rucker. I was like, we used to cover 3 or 4 Hootie and the Blowfish songs, you know, and you just be all over the board.
Of course,
you know, you
because
Brian,
you love music.
You Brian Adams, and you, and it's all just good. If it's good, it's good.
If it's
and
good,
so,
it's good.
You know, I've had, always, you know, the sound of the band has always been a little bit more of a pop, you know, contemporary country band, anyways. And so, I mean, Need You Now, in my opinion, is about as, you know, 80s as it comes, really.
Yeah,
you know,
and also timeless.
Well, thank you.
It is timeless, though. Yeah. Like, it is one of those songs, because obviously we still play it a lot. Everybody still plays it a lot. Of course they do. And it never sounds like a throwback.
Yeah.
You know, it just sounds super contemporary still. There's a real skill in that.
Well, it was unintentional. It's funny that you never know the songs that, like, I mean, that one, we've thought about it in so many interviews, we almost didn't cut it. We just did. It's such a simple song. I mean, when you look at it lyrically, it's there's not a ton of meat in there, but each line has a purpose.
Yeah, but everybody's been there, haven't they?
I know. Each line has a purpose. But, you know, it says need you now a ton of times. And you're like,
well, it's because you need them now.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Right now.
You know, I was just thinking on this kind of 80s thing, obviously, Maren's got her 80s Mercedes thing as well.
Yeah.
Some DJ who has better skills than I is going to mash that out. I guarantee it. You have mentioned Darius Rucker there. Darius Rucker has his own shows here on Absolute Radio Country. And something that he talks about a lot, and I've always, I think that he's trying to manifest this, is that you're his best friend in country music.
Oh, we are.
All right. Okay, so it's true. He's not lying.
We reach out. We're like, I'm one of those guys, like, I'm not like always like just calling up a buddy, like, hey, what's going on? But he's probably the, out of all the artists, like the one that we actually do kind of just every now and then he'll text or check in. And I mean, I texted him when I was coming over here. I was like, hey, you in town? He's like, oh, I'm in the States. And then I'm back. And we're, you know, I feel like we're like two ships in the night, always going in different directions. But every time we're together, it's just that unspoken thing. And we don't even like talk much when we're together. We just, you're there.
Just hang out.
And that's, and I think that's when you know you got a great friend.
Isn't that
friend.
A true relationship? When you can sit in silence and eat your rare steaks without
That's what
to
me
talk.
And my wife did. And I'm like, we got nothing to talk. I know everything that's going on in your life. We could just sit and enjoy.
Isn't it so nice? So nice when you get to that stage in your relationship.
She was like, are you going to send that back? I said, I don't know. I think I'm just going to eat it. And then after like three bites, it's like, yeah, I got a lot coming up. I probably should
eat
this.
So did you send it back?
After I had like three, four bites of it, and so yeah. I'd already, if I was going to get sick, it was in me. But
you went for it.
I went for it.
Darius Rucker also, while we're talking about your very best friend, He's all about the golf.
That's all he does.
Like country artists and golf seem to be. So many artists sit here and talk about golf. Are you a golfer?
I am. I grew up in Augusta.
Of course, you're a golfer.
Yeah, it's the home of the Masters and the home of James Brown.
So yes, the well-known allergist.
Exactly,
James Brown,
the well-known allergist. So yeah, I mean, you grew up from a young age like learning to play golf when you live in Augusta, But Darius is obsessed. Like, he's on a different level.
Yeah.
Because we've done two tours, you know, with Lady A and Darius. We've done two tours together, and he wakes up every single morning. It's the same thing. I mean, he wakes up, then comes back, takes a nap, gets up, does a show, wakes up, golfs, takes him a nap, does it.
And the
I'm
nap
like,
is key.
He's got it figured out.
Who's the best golfer in country music?
Jake Owen, hands down.
Jake Owen?
No, not even a close comparison.
Okay.
He's so good. Like he could, if he really spent every day doing it, he could at least be on the one of those fringe tours, you know.
Well, high praise indeed.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Well, listen, coming from me, I mean, I like everyone thinks I'm, because I've gone in spurts where I'm a solid golfer, but then when you play, like Darius and I play about the same way. Like, every time we're on the road, we had such a long standing bet where like we would just start the tour and say, okay, here's what we're playing for each day. And I would write it in my little notes, like, okay, I'm up this much or down this much. And then at the end of the tour, we pay out. And I will say, the last tour we had, I was playing really good that year that I took some money from him. But if he was to play me right now, he would destroy me.
Okay, I'm gonna bring this up next time I see Darius as well. Lady A and their crossover, which we talked about there, and which continues to be a crossover, smash hit. What we're seeing now, and you talked about kind of how that song sounds a little bit of an 80s vibe going on there. But what we're seeing a lot of country crossover at the moment. But like straight down the middle, country is cornbread country.
Oh, I know.
Is crossing over. I know. Like, I mean, yes.
Ella Langley, like stuff like that.
Luke Combs, you know.
Yeah,
like
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really interesting moment for country music right now, isn't it? What's it like watching these kind of like country?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think, listen, good music is good music. I mean, I've always been one. I mean, I understand people need a little bit of a direction of like when they tune into a station, like what am I in for? But I do think a lot of us, you know, and a lot of fans that were, you know, probably would have gotten into the genre a lot more if they realized how universal a lot of the songs sound, you know, and I mean, I love everything. And so it's like, I just think good music's good music. And I mean, you know, naming Luke Combs is, listen, he'd be just as good of a, you know, Southern rock singer. I mean, he's just a great singer. And it's like, it's just good music, you know, and there's good country music and there's bad country music, just like same in pop music and everywhere else.
Let's talk about the bad country music. What are you talking about?
There's some out there. Don't worry.
Oh, I know. Believe me. I'm well aware. Just before we let you go, one of the things that we love about you is how you give back, not only kind of working with so many different types of artists and supporting new and upcoming artists and all that, but actually giving back like where it really matters, like doing this concert for a cure with Trisha Yearwood. This is all about supporting the fight against breast cancer, obviously a great cause, but also Trisha and Garth, are they kind of like the mom and dad of country music?
Oh, man. Well, Trisha's probably the sweetest person in the world. I've only really gotten to chat with Garth a handful of times.
Right.
Trisha, though, she's been amazing. She asked me to sing on her latest project where she wrote all the songs for it, so I got to sing a duet with her. And
has she made you a cake?
She's not made me a
cake. Because she's a baker.
She did buy me a gift, though.
Okay.
Like when I was after it a cape? I sang, no, it was a jacket. It was a leather jacket. It was really sweet of her. I know.
Is it a leather jacket you have with you?
No, but it was a little tiny. I had to like, I had to get a different size.
It was her. She was like, I don't need this. Give it to Charles.
She didn't realize I'm 6'6". But no, she's amazing. But I'm yeah, I get to sing at that event with her. And she actually wants to do, we'll see how it goes. But we're doing a Phil Collins song. What song is it? Is it
Phil Collins?
Separate Lives. Yeah.
Something in the
Separate
Air.
Separate Lives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Phil Collins, isn't it? Go on living. I have to remember how it goes, but yeah, I'm excited. So we're going to do that, and I actually asked her. I was like, we'll see if she'll do Need You Now with me.
Oh, God.
That would be really cool. Well, because Hillary, too. Hillary grew up. She's always said in so many interviews, Trisha Yearwood's like my favorite female vocalist of all time. And so, like, just to even have that version out there, and I think it would be cool for all of us to feel
that. We're gonna look out for that.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen, we'll know. She was
like,
no.
Well, I'm at least gonna do it.
She was like, why aren't you wearing my jacket? No, I'm not gonna sing your song. Before I let you go, you are doing one gig.
Yeah.
One gig. You've come over to do one gig.
One gig.
I'm super excited about this, though.
It seems
really intimate and lovely.
I know, at the Tabernacle. So Dave, when I was telling him I was doing this, Dave reminded me that the Tabernacle is where we had our first show over here.
Is apparently. It?
I guess so.
And like, that's what I hear.
Man, life was moving so fast back then. Sure. I don't even remember where we were going. And
I don't know where we are now.
I know. But I'm excited, man. I mean, just to sit there and you know, the fans will be up close. And there's going to be a lot of diehard Lady A fans. So, of course, I'm gonna throw in some Lady A songs.
Yep.
But to be able to you know, just to get this music in front of, you know, even more people and you know, to actually be able to come over here for the first time as a solo artist and play in front of a packed house is going to be really fun.
I can't wait. I will be there down front, scream singing. Maybe I'll have somebody on my shoulders. Maybe I'll be on somebody's shoulders.
You should.
It's
one
not
of those
that type
things.
Of venue.
One of those two
it's
things should happen.
Yeah. But I can't wait for it. It's going to be super special. Songs for a New Moon. It's out now. We have been loving it. And we will continue to play this music because it is so fantastic. And it's so nice to celebrate all the different sounds and styles of not just country music, but of the music that our favorite country artists also love and produce.
Thank you.
So thank you for it.
And we'll have new Lady A music coming real soon. Definitely by the end of the year. So we're going in April and cutting the new records. So.
And does that mean that Lady A will be coming back to the UK?
For sure. Hands down. I mean, we're just waiting. We're kind of gearing up, man. I think this is going to be a fun next few years for us. I feel like we've all had our final babies. I know for me.
You reckon?
I am done. Good.
Always a joy to see
Always
you.
Fun.
Charles Kelly, thank you for coming back to the UK.
I love it.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.